You're listening to That's What They Say on Michigan Public.
Working out with dumbbells may be a fitness craze now, but the fitness craze that started it all sounds even better.
That's what they say. I'm Rebecca Hector. With us now is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Hello, Ann.
Hi, Rebecca. Great to see you.
And I've got to say, I don't really spend a lot of time with dumbbells. I don't do a lot of quote unquote working out or lifting of things. Don't know a lot about fitness crazes.
Well, I do actually spend some time with dumbbells, and I am excited to share with you the history of dumbbells. We're going to start with the word dumb. Rebecca, when I say the word dumb, what comes to mind for you?
Not smart.
Okay. And what we need to do is put that meaning to the side for a minute, because that is actually relatively recent in the history of dumb. Dumb goes back to Old English, and it originally means unable to speak or communicate through speech due to a pathological or congenital condition. It can still mean that. Then we get meanings like momentarily speechless, to be struck dumb. It could also be used to refer to an animal because it doesn't speak, in contrast to humans, or an inanimate, inert object. So dumb stones or dumb clay.
Or dumb waiter.
Exactly. This is the dumb waiter because it's a mechanical agent. It doesn't speak. Now, dumb could also mean without meaning or signification. Dumb luck.
Luck that just kind of appears out of nowhere.
Exactly. Then by the 1800s in the U.S., we see dumb used to refer to a person, meaning stupid or ignorant. That meaning, interestingly, shows up in Old High German earlier, but in English, it's the 1800s. And because you now have that meaning, the meaning of dumb to mean unable to speak is controversial, can be seen as offensive. Now the dumbbell. A dumbbell is a bell that doesn't ring.
That does sound dumb.
Or it could be something resembling a bell. And the fitness craze was that in the late 1600s, there was an apparatus. There were a few different forms of it, from what I can tell. And it often had a vertical rope, and it had heavy weights on it. And people would pull the rope either to practice bell ringing or just for exercise. And this was a craze. And it's worth sharing a couple of quotes with you. 1698, Sir John Floyer, in a treatise on asthma, and he says, "The most agreeable exercise is riding. The greatest are sawing, bowling, ringing of a dumbbell, swinging, dancing." And then here's this quote from Joseph Addison, who wrote The Spectator. This is 1711. "I exercise myself an hour every morning upon a dumbbell that is placed in a corner of my room and pleases me the more because it does everything I require of it in the most profound silence. My landlady and her daughters are so well acquainted with my hours of exercise that they never come into my room to disturb me while I am ringing."
Okay, I know that this is probably not what it is, but I'm picturing a giant bell hanging from the ceiling and him, like, swinging back and forth on a rope.
It is unlikely that he was swinging, and it didn't, from what I can tell, look exactly like a bell. But he was swinging a rope with weights for exercise. And this was a thing. This was a fitness craze. On this machine, there often was a short stick or bar that had a weight on it, and that is probably how, once you get that off the bigger machine, we get the dumbbell for a short bar with weights on each end, often in pairs, that many of us work out with today. Now, Rebecca, to go back to what does dumb mean to you, can you use dumbbell to refer to a person?
Yeah, actually, I had a friend who had a Springer Spaniel that wasn't very smart, and her name was Belle, and of course, they called her Dumbbell. Poor Belle.
And for better or worse, I can also use dumbbell to refer to a person, but also as a modifier, like, "Ann, that was a dumbbell idea."
These fitness crazes, they have a way of coming back, so I bet you we are going to start seeing these boutique bell-ringing dumbbell studios popping up all over the place. Time to get on it. Thanks so much, Ann.
I can hardly wait.
Ann Curzan is an English professor at the University of Michigan and the author of Says Who, a kinder, funner usage guide for everyone who cares about words. We look at the evolution of language Friday afternoons at 4:45 and Sunday mornings at 9:35 here on Michigan Public. You can also subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a language question for us, email us at language@michiganpublic.org.